And he kind of smells decay. Does another check. Did he poop himself? Yes. Yes, he did. Oh, he's gonna... That's not great. This is his first combat mission. I'm guessing they would expect this. Is he lucky enough that his base gear is with him? Yes, he is. Which means he has fresh drawers. Sergeant always said, make sure you pack an extra pair, just in case. So he's going to take a moment, and he's going to strip out lower half of his armor, down to his boots, clean himself, toss that the spoiled pair, clean himself up in the rain, free shower, and then put on that fresh pair of underwear. Because he may come in walking in as what the sergeant would call a fresh pair, but he's still A, walked in, and B, had enough brains to change his underwear rather than walk around in squishies. He doesn't want to walk in or come running in full of terror as a terrified squishy. Oh no, he can at least walk in as a well-trained new pair.
Knights of the Tabletop presents Ronin Roleplaying,
an actual play role-playing podcast run and played entirely solo by your host, Scormy.
Does that mean it's going to suck on ice? Probably.
Oh, he's not that bad. You've actually had this show before, right? The Master is an absolute joke.
Dwarf, hand me over an ale and the popcorn. I smell a powerful failure coming on this episode. Get your own damn snacks, monster!
Pipe down, all of you! Now then, here's your host, Scormy!
Hey all, welcome back to Ronin Roleplaying Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Scormy. So, when last we left our Private Hansen, old Fresh Pear, he had reached the river at the bottom of the mountain in a narrow valley here. There's a rocky, rapid-y type section of the river. There's a dead deer at the bottom of the cliff that he very narrowly kept from falling off of himself. And somewhere's washed downstream, there's a broken body of a guy who chased after the deer. Or somebody. He couldn't tell. Just some person ran past his camp and right off the cliff. Very weird. Anyway, so the water's going that way and it's morning, so let's go that way. Whatever the hell direction it is. Remember, he's a private. He doesn't get given any gear to find his way around. He has very basic, go here, do that instructions. Thinking is for corporals and above. Planning is for sergeants and above, and that's about it. Privates go where they're told and shoot things, and that's about it. So he's going to go there, and if he needs be, shoots that on his way. Hopefully doesn't get in trouble for it when he's eventually found by the sergeant, because of course they're looking for him. Obviously. Clearly, there's been a clusterfuck, which for the Colonial Marines means Tuesday, and he's just going to, this is normal operating procedure. He's going to continue on the way. Like I said, he grew up with this. His father was a Colonial Marine. He was a drill sergeant at one point, so he is completely used to this life. Yes, this is his first combat mission. It is allegedly a combat mission. It would not surprise him if the Marines are using this as a training exercise to see how prepared their grunts really are. Because his platoon is so green, it could be smoked and, you know, dried and smoked and sold in fine marijuana stores all over the planet. But no, no. They get sent out to shoot things. They're a bunch of doobies sent out to kill things. Cool. At least he put on fresh underwear for this endeavor. Then when he soiled it, cleaned it up, and has a new fresh pair. And he is moving his way towards obvious rescue. This particular little lost sheep listened to his instructors. He, step one, find water. Preferably moving water. If you go to a pond, you're probably not going to get rescued. So, he found his way to the moving water. Now, he follows the moving water to wherever it goes, which most likely will be a waiting rescue pod and a sergeant who's going to yell at him for not getting there an hour earlier, which is fine. He's been yelled at before. That's okay. Or a town where he can find out what the hell's going on, and he can call somebody and say, hi, lost sheep needing pickup. Or unless you want me to shoot the things that are here, I'm willing to do whatever. I got a nice gun. I've got plenty of ammunition. It might last me a good 10 minutes in a firefight. Each magazine holds 100 rounds. So, you've seen Aliens. Pulse rifle. Come on. Obvious ripoff. I don't care. So, let's trundle down the river, shall we? Anything untoward along the way? I have shuffled my deck of the Game Master's Apprentice. Oh, forgot, just as a reminder, we are playing All Flesh Must Be Eaten. An excellent zombie apocalypse game. Anyway, so, anything untoward? Emphatic no. This game does not want me to get involved in combat or have anything interesting happen. So, this country boy goes, look, it's a river. If I had a pole, I'd fish me some. If I had me a raft, I'd float down river. Or an inner tube. I'll take either, but I don't have either. And I don't have anything in my pack that can substitute. I could make a raft. But nah, the sergeant would say I was being lazy and took 2 hours to get to the pickup when I should have been there on time by just running. I got legs. Let's run. So I'm going to run. I have a skill for that, in fact. Marathon running. Yes, I do. So, remember, very basic system. Attribute plus skill plus D10, roll over a certain level, and you succeed. In this case, as long as we're better than a 9, we succeed. Then there's various levels of how well you did. And we'll worry about that later. That's not important. Main thing, D10. Now that's important. I have a constitution of 4. Because we're thinking endurance here, right? So I got a 4. I've got a 2 for marathon running. Added together, it's a 6. I rolled a 10. Now, these dice explode, whether you roll a 1 or a 10. In this particular case, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to grab another D10. You can also do this with a D6, but I'm using just D10s this time. I'm not going to be rolling randomly for damage. That's the only reason to have other dice. So it's just going to be set amounts. Anyway, so roll the other D10. Okay. If it's under 5, then it doesn't matter. Because what you do is you roll this second D10 and subtract 5. Okay? Well, I rolled a 7. So that's a 2. I add 2 to the 10. I got a 12. Plus the 6 I already had. I have an 18. See how that works? I think this is a little better than the 9 I needed. Actually, I really needed a 10. Whatever. As long as it's higher than a 9. It was. I run so well. I'm making great time. Just traversing like crazy. No problems with the ground. This feels just like home. Following the river. Everything's great. Now, every hour he's been trying to check in. Do I hear anything on the check-in? No. Just static. Sounds to me like he's in a bad reception area. You know, he's in the middle of mountains. There may be a lot of iron in these mountains. Regardless, it's causing interference, most likely. Not a great situation, but he's still following his training, not just from what he got in the Marines, but what he got from home. Follow the damn stream, follow the river. If you hit a lake, go around the lake, it'll continue on. Keep following the moving water. You will eventually hit one of two things, well, really three. In reality, you'll hit a town eventually, most likely, or you'll hit the ocean. In either case, you're probably in a good spot because you're relatively easy to find. You can start, you have a big ass beach, set up signals, you have a place where you can build a structure and settle in for camp, right? You're not up in the hills. You're going to have a lot of monsters or, you know, dangerous animals around for the most part. You should be fine on the beach. If you get to town, obviously you're safe. But the third option, if you're in the Colonial Marines, you may come across a rescue pod with an angry sergeant in it who says, regardless of how fast you got there too slow. But you got there. That's the important part. So he is just going to keep going. Does he find anything interesting? No. What is with this place? Apparently, whatever happened to the Zuri, the battle cruiser he was on when he went into cryosleep, whatever happened to it that caused him to be ejected from it in his cryopod? It ejected him onto the most boring planet possible. He joined the Colonial Marines to shoot things. That's his hobby. He likes to hurt things, right? He's a little bit of a cruel kid, right? 18, getting ready to get thrown in jail for bullying or whatever. No. So they send him off finally after 9 months. They finally send him off to go do something interesting, and all he's had interesting thus far is a deer and a dude jumping off a cliff. Oh, he hasn't even come across that dead dude's corpse. It should have stuck somewheres in the reeds of whatever. He'll figure it out one way or the other. Is there anything unusual about the river? Does it change at all, or am I just continuing down the river? No, it's just river. Doesn't even have the good graces to open up into a pond occasionally or a lake or something interesting. Oh, no. We're just rivering downstream, working our way ever downwards through the mountains, which has its benefits. I will say that. He doesn't have to try and go around a lake, because that can take hours. But at the same time, where there's lakes, there tends to be, you know, people. But no, nothing. No towns along this river, no nothing. Apparently he's got to get out of this godforsaken mountains before he'll eventually come across somebody. This must be one of those small colony planets. I mean, the planet could be big, but the colony's still small. Which means potentially he's thousands of miles away from anybody. Well, shit. That would really, really suck. But honestly, I don't think it's going to come to that. Nah. I think it's going to be okay. I think we're going to just keep following our training. I'm comfortable. Dad was right. A little bit of talcum powder down below. Keep your boots dry. Keep your junk all nice and powdered up. And you can run all day. Stop occasionally for a radio check and a quick bite off of a ration. A little bit of a sip of water. And keep moving. Always moving. Oh, he'll be tired at the end of the day. This means he'll sleep better. I think I am going to be keeping an eye, though, on the trees. Just making plans. Because at this rate, I'm starting to think I'm going to be stuck out here for another day. I'm thinking this next time, since there tends to be more life around rivers, not just benign life, you know, your deer and that sort of thing, your small game, but also predators, your wolves, your bears, your wolverine, things like that. And that makes things more difficult. A basic shelter on the ground, not going to work so well. But if he can find some good trees that are old growth, climb on up, build himself a little structure up there. Ah, that's living. Sleeping up there with the birds a good 20, 30 feet up off the ground. Yeah. You're dry, you're warm. Well, if you do it right, you can be warm. No fire, but he doesn't need a fire. It's not like it's snowing out here or anything. We draw. Yeah, it's starting to snow. God damn it, for a minute I forgot I was a Marine. All right. So that is an issue. But hey, you know what? We just keep on going. What's the training? Follow the water. And I follow the water. So I'll travel for another few hours. It's getting on middle of the day. Can I get any sort of radio transmissions? Yes. Well, that's good. All right. Let's draw and see what I can hear. I'm going to say it's a lot of static, but there is some distant voices, but he can't make it out. It's just really, really bad, but he is able to pick up something, so there must be maybe the mountains aren't as high around here, maybe there's less iron, whatever. Which gives him an idea. I'm thinking that Hansen, being a relatively smart kid, double check that. Actually, he's pretty average intelligence, but again, grew up with a military family. So, and he does have survival. So I'm thinking that he's smart enough to know that he's going to have to check in. He's going to have to make sure they know where he is. It's one thing to find water and follow the water. That's great. Great basic idea. But he still needs to try. He's been trying, but he, at this point, it's been a day. He needs to contact someone, whether they're civilian authorities or military. He's going to have to let them know that he's out here, so they have an idea of where to look. I mean, yeah, follow the river, but what river is this? There may be thousands of rivers. Who knows? This might be considered a small creek compared to some of the massive rivers they have elsewhere. I don't know. Because he doesn't even know where he is. He has no idea what's going on. Just there's a bunch of oak-like trees out here with big red leaves. That's all he knows. And apparently dudes that run straight off cliffs. He really wanted that deer. He did not get it. Did make a nice jump all the way to the middle of the river, though. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. And words are hard. I will stumble over them occasionally. Now, my idea is, I think he's going to stop about an hour earlier than he normally would. When it's just starting, when he can tell the sun is just starting to go down. Normally he would keep going until it's basically dark, or just shy of dark. So, he's going to stop a little early, find the tallest tree he can, climb up to the as high as he can, and try transmitting from there. And if he can't contact somebody from up there, then he will bed down and continue in the morning. So, yeah, he's got at least a few more hours of traveling. Let's see. Let's draw for anything interesting. This deck hates interesting things. Absolutely knows. Not emphatic, just no, no, no. You got three options with the Game Master's Apprentice when you draw for this. You have bad odds, even odds, or good odds. All three of them came up no in this particular question. So, the river continues endlessly onward, and he continues to follow it. And not have problems, because he succeeded on it so well on his running check. I'm not even going to check again. He's good. He's bouncing from rock to rock, running along the edges, just staying out of the water. His boots are dry. He's talcumed up, baby. He is good to go. Hell, well, I'm going to say that just because of that, he did cross country when he was in high school. He knew enough to break out the talcum powder and talcum up his boobs. You know, he's making sure those nipples aren't going to get raw. You know, rubbing against his t-shirt. Because that is a real problem for people running long distances or running for long amounts of time. Ask any jogger, ask any marathoner. They need to put on little things over, cover up those nips. Otherwise, there is pain, and you don't know pain until you've had raw nipples. I'm just saying. That is from experience. You can take it to the bank from this old man. Now then, we continue onward with our boring little transgressions down the river. You can't see my hands, but I'm doing the whole winding river motion, that the universal symbol for either a very curvy woman or a river. In this case, an extremely boring river, but a river just the same. And I follow it onward. Ever onward to wherever it may go. Gravity suggests out of the mountains, or at least to somewheres. But hey, whatever. We'll just keep looking. So I think I'm going to move scenes along. Kind of speed it up, because, you know, this occasional checking as we go along is kind of boring. I think we're going to come up to where the sun is starting to droop down. I mean, it's nowhere near going down behind the horizon because we're in the mountains, and they go behind the mountains well before it goes below the horizon. But it's a good signal that, hey, it's time to find a really tall tree and climb that bubby. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to climb that bubby. We're going to find us a tree and we're going to climb. I have an athletic score of 3 and a dexterity of 4. So that's a 7. All I got to roll is a 3 on a D10. Last time I tried this, I failed. And I almost fell off a cliff. But let's try again. It would help if it didn't fall angled. Okay. Cool. It's a 6. So, that's a total of 13 if my math serves. Yes, it does. So, successful. Not great, but successful. I scamper my way up the tree. Fresh Pear is doing the job. He gets up to the top, and he's using whatever he can to get his radio up as high as he can and try to call out again. His radio's in his helmet, so he's looking out. Also, this is a good time to get a lay of the land, too. See if he can see where this river goes, if there's anything ahead. Now, does he have any sort of skill for this? No, of course. Of course not. Why would he have any sort of skills that revolve around radio use? I mean, he only depends on it for his survival. Oh, wait. He's a private. Never mind. They don't expect him to survive. They expect him to go there and shoot things. If only he knew where to go to shoot things. He would go that way. Anyway, so, is he able to hear anything? Oh, a broadcast seems to address you. I'm going to say not him in specific. He's just a grunt. But there's a broadcast, military in nature, reaching out to his squad. And likewise to his platoon. So there is a rescue squad out. Yes, there is a rescue pod. He's just got to signal it to let him know where he is. Is he able to do that? Yes. Yes. He gets out. This is Private Hansen, Designator 90210. XB, I am fully operational, currently top of a roughly 100 meter tall tree nearby a downward flowing river in the middle of unknown mountains, heading downstream once light comes up in the morning, staying put until now. We'll be bedding down in this tree. Do you copy? Do I get a response? No. I will repeat my call out again. After that whole blast, I'm not going to repeat it now. I draw again and no, there is no response. I have no idea if they heard me or not. Sorry, I had to write down my designation code. Now then, I'm feeling a little disheartened at this point. I'm feeling like this is probably a repeating signal. The pod is at a location. It's repeating out its coordinates, which mean nothing to me. So, think, boy, think. Okay, everything's fine. Here's what must be going on. I am a lost sheep, right? Right, okay, so, lost sheep. No problem. I then travel downriver, as I've been told, as a good lost sheep will do. Move downriver. No problem. I then will be picked up by a corporal, a team lead, a corporal, a sergeant, whatever, glom onto whatever squad I can. I don't even care if it's my platoon. Glom on to somebody in authority, who then will take us from wherever we are to the rescue pod coordinates, where a very angry sergeant will scream at all of us, but mostly scream at whoever's in charge. And that won't be me. So, bonus! Sounds great. And since my chips, all my stuff's recorded, they know I've been doing my hourly checks. They know I did my 4-hour nightly checks. They know that I climbed up a tree trying to make contact. They know I did everything that I should have done as a good little killing machine. So this good little killing machine is probably looking at a PFC at the very least out of this. Woo, that's an extra 10 credits a month, baby. Ooh, baby. Yeah, I might even get a day of leave out of this. Okay, probably not. But at least I'm less likely to get yelled at, or yelled at less, or maybe they won't have me painting rocks when we finally get to another base. I can have somebody else paint rocks. You know, the squishies. Squishies are for painting rocks. Fresh pears? No. Fresh pears, people smart enough to change their underwear after shitting themselves. Yes, they don't paint rocks. This is what my daddy told me. Fresh pears get to go sit in mess hall and do something else equally degrading, but it's not as backbreaking as painting rocks. I hate painting rocks. Painting rocks is as far from killing things as you possibly can be in this man's Colonial Marines. So, squishies can go paint rocks. I will get to be scrubbing pans after a long day on the range. So, cool. Great. I just gotta go find somebody. So I'm gonna go climb down. Use my survival skill to set myself up a nice little camp. I just barely made it, but made it I did. So set up a little camp about 10 meters off the ground. Sounds about right. It's not perfect, but it'll do. The branches are a little squishier than I would have liked, but it's what I could use. It's what I could do. It'll support me. So I will have myself a little bit of food. Again, half rations. Last thing I want to do is trying to start a fire to boil water out of that river. You know, go and filter it and, you know, all that whole process. That's a few days from now when I've run out of water or run extremely low on water when I'm having to get ready to go hunt something for food. If I've gotten to that point, then maybe I'm not making it off this rock. I guarantee you I won't be going with empty magazines, though. Something's gonna die out here. But for now, I'm gonna sit here in a tree, set my alarm for halfway through the night, when I will try climbing up and another signal, maybe with less traffic, maybe I'll be able to get out then. Maybe even the rescue pod will come get me in particular. There's not really landing room, but hey, you know what? I can rappel up. Maybe. Especially if they lower me a harness. Oh, I can be pulled up in my leisure. Oh, that'll be easy. Not that they're going to do that for a grunt. They'd say, keep running. We'll meet you at this coordinates. And I still can't tell you what coordinates are. They didn't give me anything to find out. My gear is on keeping me alive, keeping me fed, and keeping me shooting things. That's it. Team leads get, you know, gear. Then again, I have shown ingenuity. Ooh, maybe I could make team lead. Not that I want to wish ill on anybody, but usually getting team lead means your team lead fucked up or your team lead died. Well, I hate to see that happen to Johnny, but at the same time, team lead comes with an extra credit a month, so yeah, sure, okay. I wouldn't say no to it, especially if I continue doing everything right. Then again, they know who my dad was. They fully expect me to do everything right. If I don't, I'm fucked. Which is why my dad always told me, don't ever plan on being team lead, son. They expect more from you. And I never understood what that meant. How could you expect more from me just because of who my dad was or who his dad was? Yeah, sure, we've been in the military for generations, but yeah, that means we were raised with it, but that doesn't mean that I'm perfect, that I should always be perfect, does it? I don't know. All I know is my dad had lots of problems in the Marines. Lots of problems. I always suspected he was a squishy at one point, but he did make drill sergeant. But then again, usually drill sergeants don't go into combat. They stay on base. So maybe that's where squishies go who just can't hack the combat but are really good at training men. Huh. Maybe I'm getting some better understanding of my dad. Or maybe I should be sleeping now instead of sitting here wondering about such things. I'm gonna draw to see if anything unusual happens. Holy crap, a yes. Let's see. The problem with the basic Game Master's Apprentice horror deck is that it's meant for all types of horror, not specifically zombie horror. So it can be a little bit obscure trying to make it work. Let's see. I think I'm going to go with this one. I see movement below me in the darkness. Let's see. I have a skill for this. I have notice of 3. So we're going to call it perception and notice, which is a total of 6. And I got an 8. Good. That's a 14. So I succeed. I can hear a stifled curse followed by a crash, a weapon held casually, and I smell skunk spray or something like that. Just something really foul. Looks like there's 2 or maybe 3 figures down below, stumbling along in the dark. Huh. Now, this is one of those times where the book, if you follow the book, it would say that a good little sheep would climb down the tree and make contact with these guys in the hopes that they are either locals who know how to get out, or better yet, others from the squad, or at least his platoon, or battalion, or whatever. Somebody make contact so that they are more powerful together. They're more likely to survive together. That's what the book says. But what did he see? What did he hear? A stifled curse followed by a crash is what he heard. He saw a shadow moving that held a weapon casually. And he smells something foul. Let's think about this a minute. What does this tell him as a trained military mind through most of his life? This is what they expect of him, coming from a military family, is to think like a soldier, always. What did he see? What did he hear? What did his senses tell him? Well, a lack of coordination, a lack of discipline. That's what he heard. Or potentially panic. He saw a weapon being held casually, which tells him two things in my mind. It tells him that it confirms that lack of discipline. A real soldier would have their weapon at the ready or secured. They don't walk along with their weapon casually held. It's secured or it's at the ready. One of the two. You're holding it casually. What the hell are you doing? You're just looking for an accident or looking to embarrass your sergeant. Either way, that's not his squad. All right. So maybe they're locals. Okay. So they're locals, right? Making contact with locals, not necessarily a bad thing, actually probably good. They can tell him how to get out of here. They might even be able to lead him out, help him out, right? But they also could be hostiles. If they were locals that just happened to be out here, no hunter walks along with their rifle in their hands while they're just tromping through the woods. They're secured unless they're needed. You don't break out the tool till it's ready to be used. So why would you be walking around with your rifle out? They're crashing around, making noise. They're not hunting anything. At least no game. But he did transmit out twice his location as best as he could determine. So is it possible they heard and they're looking for him? In which case, having their weapon out indicates to him hostility. They're looking to get the jump on a soldier. If they were just out here and they had the rifle for protection, again, it would be secured or held in a ready stance. Not just swung along, ready to be pulled up and shot at somebody, like an untrained civilian would do. No. Something's wrong here. I think I need to be a little more careful now. I think I'm going to stay quiet. I had been signaling on civilian channels previously. I think my next transmission will be on a military band only, and I will signal that there's potentially hostiles in my area or requesting information. Are there hostile civilians here? Report in code, which allows him to basically use the radio on his phone. I mean, on his helmet. He can take that and tap out in code, kind of like a Morse code, but a modified code that he has a code book for. He'll find the date and go off of that. Maybe he's being too paranoid, but again, that just seemed a little odd. And anyway, worst case scenario, he just follows their tracks, sees where they go, and if they seem to be okay, he makes contact with them later in the light of day when he can have the advantage over them. So that's a good idea. But for now, he's going to try and catch a power nap. He's been running all day. He has to sleep. Does anything untoward happen while he's sleeping? Now I'm starting to hit the interesting cards. Okay. So yes. Let's roll for how many hours he got of sleep. Ooh, a whole 5, which means he overslept. He was supposed to get up at 4 hours to send a signal. So his watch buzzed and he had it on silent. It buzzed at him and he didn't wake up. But after 5 hours, something untoward is happening. What does his senses tell him? He hears muffled, stealthy footsteps. Someone's trying to be quiet, but failing. And his first thought is, I knew it. I knew it. His dad will be so proud. So rather than signal in, he knows he's late, but this will make sense when he does signal in. I'm going to make a check for notice, which is a perception and notice. So that's a total of 6. And I rolled a 6. So that's a 12. It's a success. Let's draw to see what I can see down below. It says I see discarded clothes, torn and bloody. I'm going to say instead, I see a figure down below in the moonlight that's wearing torn and bloody clothing that what I thought was muffled, stealthy footsteps was just someone moving slowly. There's this figure just kind of slowly moving around down near the river, which is interesting. Just not really walking with any purpose, just kind of meandering along. I'm going to say they look all wet, too. Huh. That's weird. Can I see anything more specific or any specific details about them? No. They're just a person. Dark hair, light-skinned, torn-up clothing, looks to have dark patches on it that would be indicative of blood or mud, and they're moving jerkily, unnaturally, kind of shuffling. I'm guessing that this person's been injured, possibly has like a head injury because they seem very out of it, which is not great. So in a situation like this, I'm going to say he probably would. Quick weapons check, obviously. But then work his way down the tree and see if he can make contact with this person. Maybe they can help him, or at the very least, he could provide assistance to them. If they need some sort of care out here in the middle of nowhere, then, yeah, he's the only one available to provide it, and he can't just leave a civilian out here. And he doesn't see any insignias or anything, so he's guessing it's probably not a fellow soldier. So that's important. When he gets down to the ground, though, he's going to look around. Has he caught their attention? Emphatically, no. So I'm going to say it seems to have changed its... I keep saying it's. They seem to have changed their focus, that they're looking across the river and moving a little more intently. Their motions are a little more, not really rapid, but like jerkily moving into the river itself. Not fast, but also faster than they were going, in a determined kind of shuffle, I guess. Sir, trying to keep it quiet, but at the same time, you know, not knowing what's across the river, but at the same time, I need to get his attention, get him out of the river. Clearly he has a head wound. Something's wrong, that's for sure. I look around. Do I find, like, a stone? Yes. Okay, I'm going to take the stone and throw it in his general direction to try and get his attention. I have a skill for that, actually. Throwing. It's meant for grenades, but oh, I rolled a 10. And it's doesn't change anything. It becomes an 11. Plus my throwing, which is 6, so 17. I'm sorry, 16, because it's 10. That becomes nothing, so that's fine. That's way more than I needed, though. It does catch the person's attention, and they turn my way. And I grab my weapon in ready position. Sir, come out of the river. Do they comply? Yes. Is this a good thing for me? No. No, it absolutely is not. I'm going to say that the guy is silhouetted by the moon coming from behind him, the moonlight rippling off the water, and it kind of hunches down and starts shuffling my direction, coming up out of the river where it had gotten almost waist deep. So it's slowly making their way to the shore again, stumbling a little bit, catching on rocks. Does not seem to be paying too much attention to its footing. And it's growling as it comes out of the water. The smell is reaching me. The breeze may be blowing a little bit more in my direction now, and oh, it smells foul. Somebody is a squishy. I know civilians don't have any stomach for battle, but oh, that's nasty. But it's not just that. That smells bad. That smells of chemicals and rotten carcasses and that's bad. So I'm trying not to gag, but they just keep shambling forward, growling and starting to reach out in my direction. As it gets about 10 meters away, the smell is just overpowering. And I can see that it's bearing these white teeth, and that person doesn't look right. There's pieces of bone visible on the arms, and I've seen enough horror vids. Training weapon. Sir, stop where you are. Stay where you are. I'm going to make a fear check, which is a willpower check, I do believe. Let's look it up real quick. Pass the gear. Fear tests, okay. Right. All right, I did it right. I did not succeed, but I didn't fail badly either. Luckily, I do have a nerves of steel and fast reaction time. So that helps. I don't freeze up like most people would. But that's a fucking zombie. And that's not good. So I am going to shoot it. That's assault rifle plus dex. Well, yeah, that's a 14. Okay. The damage on that pulse rifle is 16, I do believe. Yes, D8 times 4, or average of 16. So mark off a round. And is that enough to stop it? Probably not. Let's go with basics. Nope, but that did make a lot of noise. It doesn't even notice it. It just keeps coming. If anything, it sped up. I fire again. Even do better that time. That time it does go down. I'm going to say it basically shattered its spine on that shot. And so it collapses. But the arms are still grasping and dragging at the earth. And it's chomping and growling and trying to drag its way towards me. It hasn't stopped. It's just downed. Right. So, going to try to make a called shot, stepping forward and aiming for the back of the head. So that's a modifier downwards. All right, still hit. And that just explodes its head like a melon. The scent is unbelievably foul. There's a chunk of skull on my boot. It is bad. But it stops. Arms collapse down, and it just sort of gets rigid and stays that way. I'm gonna step back and kick the piece of skull off my boot. What in the actual fuck? What, this is not great. Mark off those rounds. I am going to have myself a good little cry now and try not to vomit. Right. Think. What do I do? I can see my sergeant in my mind, envisioning, what would the sergeant do? And he's vomiting into a bucket. Corporal, what would my corporal do? He's hiding behind boxes in like a supply closet. All right, team lead. Team lead's being eaten. All right, what do I do? Envisioning my heroes, the important people in my life. What would my dad do? And he's standing there looking at me, and he's like, so tall, like I'm a 6-year-old child, and he's so big, he's this giant, and he looks down at me and says, boy, why aren't you being sensible? Run! Next thing I know, I'm holding my weapon at ready and running at full fucking speed downriver. Always follow the river downriver. Follow the river. There's a rescue pod at the bottom of this river. I know there is. I am so getting the fuck out of here.
Well, I guess we should call it there. So, until next time, remember, you can always drop by scoremy.com for blog, Discord server, podcasts, you know, all your Squirmy-related needs. And until next time, I'm Squirmy, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Oh, hello again. We didn't expect anyone to actually make it until the end of the show. Demon, be a dear and wake up the announcer, will you?
Do I have to? He's such a dick. Takes one to know one, eh? I will bathe in your blood, little man.
Oh, get out of the way, you idiots. I'll take care of it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ronin Roleplaying. Please join us again next time for another rousing adventure with your host, Scormie.